You need to take notes in a meeting or from a subject matter expert, and they're talking away very quickly at 160 to 200 words per minute. How do you capture that information? What do you do? That's what we'll look at in this episode.
Mad World Europe is your best learning and professional development opportunity of the year. The conference debuts this September in Prague, Czech Republic, and features industry thought leaders from organizations such as Visa, Nestle, and TCOM. Full schedule and event details can be found at www.madcapsoftware.com.
This is the Cherryleaf Podcast.
Capturing information is something that we have looked at in earlier episodes. In the first episode of the podcast, we looked at stenography. And in a few episodes back, we looked at using process maps to capture information. And on the Cherryleaf blog in the past, we've looked at some of the new electronic techniques for using paper notebooks for capturing information. So to answer this question, we asked the technical writing community how they do it. We posed the question, how do you capture notes when you've got meetings, when you're talking to subject matter experts? And we asked this on Twitter, on LinkedIn, and on Slack. And we got probably around about 50 different replies. And so what we're going to do is we're going to look at the types of ways in which people tackle this particular activity. So let's look at one group, and we've called these the old schoolers. And this is still a common, popular way of capturing notes. And that is to use a pen or a pencil and a paper notebook. And one of the advantages of this is it doesn't need electricity. It's always there. You can write and scribble as and when you need to do that. The downside of this is that when we're writing, handwriting, we probably go at a speed of about 20 words per minute. And so it's hard to keep up with somebody that's talking. And also another challenge can be, how do we get this information, our notes, from our notebook to the computer? If we're capturing information on how to explain how a particular product works or what needs to happen, we need to get that information from our paper notes onto a electronic format. We anticipated or thought that perhaps some people might be using shorthand as a way of keeping up when writing these notes so they don't fall behind when somebody's writing. Because using shorthand, it's said that you can capture information at around 150 to 180 words per minute, so you can keep up with the person that's speaking. However, techniques like Greg and Pittman and T-Line, these shorthand methods, are hard to learn. And the way in which they work so that people can keep up is using special techniques, which can lead to challenges as well. And that's because these shorthand techniques weren't designed to be used to record information for storage. They have been developed to be used for dictation, so that they would be used as a mechanism for recording information that would then be transcribed very quickly afterwards. This means that if you were to use shorthand techniques to write your text, and if you were to come back maybe 6 months later to review what you'd written, it would be very hard for you to understand your own notes. One alternative is to use a cipher rather than shorthand. And in 2012, there was developed a new shorthand called Forge Shorthand. And the way in which that works is that it uses a simplified way of writing the letters of the alphabet. Instead of writing the letter A, you just use the outside stroke of the capital A. To write the letter E, you just use the corner of the letter E. And this is said to make it easier for you to write more quickly because you don't have to spend so much time writing each individual letter. With the Ford shorthand system, it's claimed that you can learn it in 15 minutes, that you don't need to go on a training course to build up the skills in using it, and that you can get quickly up to a speed of about 40 words per minute, and for some people they can get up to these faster speeds of 150 words per minute that you see with the traditional shorthand methods. By not doing techniques like using phonetical words or omitting vowels, it means that it's more realistic that you'd be able to go back in a few months' time and understand the notes that you'd got. So notebooks, pen, still many people using that particular method and then typing it up afterwards into written text. Another group that responded were ones where they were using handwritten notes, but they had some form of technology that they were using to convert those handwritten notes into text, computer text, using optical character recognition. And what we've seen in recent years is a number of applications that have been developed to enable you to scan pages from a notebook and convert them to text using OCR, optical character recognition. And we've seen the emergence of notebooks designed to make that process easier. These tend to have dots on the page, which make it easier for the software to recognize and convert the text that you've written. And there are a number out there. There's the Rocketbook Wave and the Everlast, and these are designed in a way that you can write your text and then wipe it out and then reuse that book again for future text. And these work by either you microwaving the book or rubbing over the pages using water. And you use special pens to write your text. The pens are called Flexion pens. And there are also dotted books by Leuchtturm, Moleskine, and you can of course use Flexion pens for those. So the advantages of these is you can just write as if you were using a normal notebook. The downside is the optical character recognition applications are still not perfect. They rely on you writing cleanly and clearly. You need to write with upright letters. And that can be difficult if you need to write quickly or if you don't have a nice, clean handwriting style. And linked with this is a technology or a product called LiveScribe. And this is a pen. It costs about £160. It also uses the dotted paper, but the optical character recognition software is actually built into the pen. So what you do is you use your LiveScribe pen and you write your notes and you have your record of your notes on the paper, inked there, and you have them recorded electronically within the pen itself, and you can then connect using the pen's USB port to a computer and get your information, the notes that you've written, uploaded to your computer, and then they can be stored as an image, as your handwriting notes, or it can be converted to be written text using OCR, the OCR software that comes with that. So as we've mentioned, there are some challenges with optical character recognition not necessarily being of a sufficient quality to recognise your notes. So another group of people that we identified or saw from the responses that we got were people that are handwriting the information and then storing it as an image on a computer. So it's not necessarily OCR, but you can visually see somebody's notes that are there. So we had this other group that were storing them into a note-taking and annotation application. And as one person that replied said, I can record everything said, make many or few notes in real time, and then go back to the recording, to my notes, to my writing, and stay synchronized. Everything is shareable, everything is exportable. And so we had a group of people using note-taking and annotation apps to capture notes, capture screenshots from whiteboards, from slides, and to use that as their storage place for all of the information they collate from meetings, from interviews, and the like. And the tools that they were using were applications like Evernote, Bear, Slite, and one in particular, Microsoft OneNote. And somebody said, I use OneNote as it's really helpful. You can create a section for each project in OneNote notebook, and then pages within each section. It's synchronized between devices, and you can also add multiple accounts for work and personal use, and you can share just a single page or section with other people. Somebody else said you can use it like a filing cabinet. You can have a notebook per topic area or section per topics or client, and then you can have pages or subpages for each meeting. So you can collate all your notes. And with these tools, with OneNote and with Evernote, they also come with web clipping tools. So if you come to a particular page on a website and you want to capture that information and use that in your notebook for collecting all the information, you can clip it using that. OneNote in particular is good at knowing which notebook that particular page belongs in. Evernote is very good at actually capturing it in a very quick way. Now, some people were using OneNote and Evernote in quite advanced ways and doing some interesting things. And they mentioned a number of different ways that you could use some of the advanced techniques. So let's cover those. One is tags. And I'll quote from an article in Lifehacker by Whitson Gordon. Tags can be useful if you have notes that you think could fit into multiple notebooks or are on the same subject without getting overwhelming. You don't need to tag every note you have, and you only need a few really important ones. It basically makes your archive easier to search through with Evernote's advanced search operators. You can even then save those searches by clicking the little arrow next to the search bar and pressing the magnifying glass. So tagging is a feature that's supported in a number of these tools, in OneNote and in Evernote, and I think in some of the other tools. And so you can mark up the text in different ways, because one of the challenges with these tools is the volume of information and the connections. If you have information in notebooks or in sections, that works in that particular scenario, but it may be that the same content needs to be repurposed or reused in a different situation. And so by using tags, you can make those connections, make those links and relationships. And related to that is another feature that you can get, in particular with Evernote, I think maybe also with OneNote, and that is to create a copy note link. What that means is you're able to link everything together to create hyperlinks so that you don't have to resort to the search feature to try and find information. You can find that contextual related topic. A couple of other advanced techniques and uses you can use with these that people mentioned. One of the reasons why people are using tools like Slite rather than the tools like Evernote and OneNote is templates. Now, Slite comes with some predefined templates that you can use for things like meeting notes, onboarding new staff, running through job reviews. And so you have a set structure that you can write your notes to so that every note of that type is consistent in the way in which it's structured. Now, you can also create templates in OneNote. As far as I'm aware, it doesn't come with templates pre-configured. You need to create them from scratch for yourself, but it is possible to create a series of predefined topics that you can then use when creating new notes upon which you can base these new notes, these new pages. So with the tagging, with the hyperlinking, and with the templating, in many ways you've got the functionality that you would have with a wiki. And so the ability with these tools is to effectively create knowledge bases or online systems that are configured and designed for you or your group, depending on how you share it, your organization. And one of the other attractions is that you can combine these note-taking tools with applications that come on mobile devices like your mobile phone. For example, Microsoft offers a product called Office Lens. And this is a tool that you can use with your mobile, and it uses your camera as a way of you capturing information that might be presented on whiteboards or on slides. And one of the nice features with Office Lens is that it can adjust if you're viewing a whiteboard or viewing a slide from the side at a side angle. It can correct that angle and make it full on rather than side on. It can also make sure that that information is embedded straight into the relevant notebook. So you can be capturing information on somebody else within the room, or even remotely could be adding notes or commenting on the information that you're capturing in that meeting. And similar tools for Evernote also, and the ones with Office Lens, have the capability of taking text that's in those images, in those photographs, and can convert those to be written text. So it can OCR the text that might appear in a newspaper article that you've photographed and imported using Office Lens, or another piece of content that has typed text. And I've mentioned this, I think already, you have the capability with these tools to control what you share. Share individual pages, sections within notebooks, whole notebooks. There were two other groups, or two other solutions or approaches that people were taking to capturing information. So let's finally look at those two. And one group were what you might call the fast typists. These are the people that could type and listen at the same time and capture information that way. And they would either type into an application like OneNote or Evernote or into a notepad. And one of the comments was, I like to type into OneNote because I'm faster at it, but I can touch type and look at my conversation partner simultaneously. Somebody else said, I make notes on my iPhone or in Pages on my Mac using a blank template. I can capture the words fast, flag actions with an asterisk. And the final way in which people are capturing information is by just recording the audio. So if they are having a meeting over Skype or Zoom, then they would record it with the functionality within those applications if it's in the versions that they have. Or very common, one of the common applications that people said they used when we asked them was using Camtasia or Snagit, just running that, recording the screen, and then saving the audio. Or if there were visual aspects of that web conference call, they would record it and save it as a video. In face-to-face meetings, again, you can use Camtasia or Snagit. If you've got the microphone on your laptop, you could record a meeting that way. But a common theme, one of the tools that many technical authors who replied said they had, was a digital recorder. At Cherryleaf, we like the Philips ones, the voice tracers. And somebody else mentioned the Sony ones. And basically, you have this in your bag, you take it out, and you hit record, and you can record. From that, you either then need to replay the audio and type it up, or you can embed it as just a simple audio file into OneNote or into Evernote. Of course, then you don't have the capability of searching that audio for something that somebody said unless it's transcribed. People often forget, of course, with mobile phones these days, they have recording capabilities with them. And there are apps that you can download for recording audio on your mobile device. One that we've used in the past, I think we've mentioned this on previous podcasts, is Recordium. And one of the functions with these types of apps is, as it's being recorded or after the fact, you can tag the audio recording at different points. So you can mark different sections to say, at this point in the recording, we talked about this subject, or at that point in the recording, it was this person that was speaking. So those are the different ways in which people are gathering information, recording information, and getting it into computers in typed format or keeping a record of it. In many ways, it hasn't changed a great deal over time. We still have many people where the best way of working is the traditional way of notebook and pen. And OCR still has perhaps some way to go, but we're starting to see some some progress where people are recording, writing, and getting their handwriting converted. What was surprising was the sheer number of people that were using note-taking and annotation apps, particularly OneNote. And I think in every technical communicator's toolkit, they should have an audio digital recorder there ready to capture information so that they can just listen and take and absorb the knowledge that way, and then have a record that they can use, an audio record that they can use to write up their notes afterwards. We always like to ask at the end of our podcast for feedback. So if you know of other ways that people should be using for taking down this type of information, do let us know. We can share it in another podcast. You can email us info@cherryleaf.com. Now, there may not be a podcast in a fortnight's time because that coincides with the Mad World Europe conference. The next one might be delayed. Apart from that, thank you for listening. You can always contact us, info@cherryleaf.com. If you want to know more about Cherryleaf and the technical writing and training services that we provide, our website is cherryleaf.com. As always, finally, thank you for listening.
Madcap Flare offers cutting-edge technical authoring and publishing capabilities for today's technical writers and content developers, with advanced features to maximize authoring efficiency, content reuse, and multi-channel publishing. By combining Madcap Central's cloud-based collaboration, publishing, and content management functionality, authors can improve content quality, gain greater insight into tasks and production schedules, work collaboratively with teams, host content, and automate processes. Madcap Flare and Madcap Central, combining the power of desktop authoring with cloud-based collaboration, publishing, and content management. Learn more at www.madcapsoftware.com.